morning, Buzz. How was your weekend?
Yeah, great. Enjoyed the fight yesterday. How good was he?
Outstanding. Put his name on the map if it wasn't already.
Yeah, no, it was a sensational win. As good as any I've seen Australian boxing in America, that's for sure. And the only downside was the poor sportsmanship of Lopez afterwards, carrying on the way he did. You know, he's lucky he didn't get cocked again when he went up to him after the fight. But, my goodness, it was a great victory. And I hear Laurie talking. I've got no doubt his next fight will be in Australia, and he'll sell out wherever he goes. And it'll be a huge ticketed event, as well as pay-per-views. And to have him and Tim Zhu and the rest of the guys in Australian boxing, these really are the glory years in the sport. It's fantastic. They're all good people. You know, you got to be really mean and nasty. You'd think to be a boxer and get in there and punch the tripe out of your opponent, but they're such good people.
Hey, Buzz, you're right. We're coming into a purple patch with all these boxers at the moment and doing fantastically well. But did you know much about George Kambosos, the footy player? I read there that he was involved with the Sharks there a few years ago when Ricky was there.
Yeah, he was. But, look, I didn't know much about him. Look, obviously he never played NRL, but he was in junior development. And he played, he was a junior footballer in the Sharks system. But I don't know what position was or anything like that. But
he's made the right decision, though, to head down the boxing path rather than the rugby league path.
Oh, mate, I think he will earn in his next fight more than he'd make in his entire career as a rugby league player, you know. And that's the thing, you know, Anthony Mundine did the same, didn't he? You know, he started out and achieved a lot in rugby league, but then went to boxing and made an absolute squillion. Sonny Bill Williams, and look at Paul Gallen. Has made more in the last couple of years than he made in his last 5 or 6 years of rugby league. And, you know, and Gallen's now a boxer as much as he's a rugby league player. And but it's really great for the sport. And as I said, there's no mugs. You guys met Brock Jarvis before.
I know Brock quite well.
Yeah, what a terrific young fella he is. They're all really, really good people. And I'm really happy for them. There's a press conference on today. This Olympian, Harry Garside, another hit. And he's the same weight as Kambosos. So at one stage, they're going to have to get into the ring together. And what a fight that would be. A couple of Aussie boys. Imagine that, fighting for a world title. But he's going to have his first professional fight. There's a press conference this morning to announce that, and that'll be on Matt Rose's Carter. The deferred card, I think it's on December 22. So really exciting times ahead for the sport.
Buzz, what about in footy world? What did you make of Brendan Smith's comments about the Roosters?
Well, I said on social media last night, I think it was highly disrespectful to his club, Melbourne Storm. And I think this is a similar situation to Billy Kickow putting on a Canterbury Bulldogs jersey. Now, Brendan Smith is on big, big money at the Storm. He came over from New Zealand as a kid there. He got the benefit of great coaching from people like Craig Bellamy, learning under Cameron Smith, Cronk, Slater, and has become a marquee player. But he's contracted there for another 12 months. He's 15 months away from joining the Roosters, which he's obviously going to do. So to start talking about winning a premiership and he's dream of doing that in a Roosters jersey, I think personally is way out of order. And I think he's got to go home this week. He's got to tell Melbourne Storm. He's got to have a meeting with Craig Bellamy. And I don't think it's going to be all that pleasant, judging by his remarks. Now, Brendan Smith, if he'd been a bit smarter, would have held that interview with the website until he told Melbourne and then toned it down a little bit and throw in a few lines about his commitment to the Storm for the next 12 months. What he said makes you wonder, is he trying to get out of there a year earlier and join the Roosters next year? Is he trying to fire up the situation? I don't know. Well, I was really, really disappointed. Look, he's a great character.
Yeah.
And one of the beauties of Brendan Smith is that he tells you how it is. And there's no cliche. He's very open and honest, whatever he says. But I was really disappointed. What about you guys?
Yeah, no, we were disappointed as well. I certainly was disappointed. Yeah, I think Pup said the same. It's something that you just keep those comments to yourself. You could talk about, the Roosters, being a wonderful club, but to talk about winning a premiership for them and then how emotional you got when you, saw Mitch Orbison talking about what it meant to the Roosters and how special it would be to play there. I think you just got to keep some things private until your commitments are up at your club. And if you said that, at the end of next season, I think everyone would go, you know what, well done, congratulations. But I think he might have been a bit naive, to be honest with you, Buzz. I don't think he thought being on that podcast would get as much traction as it has.
Look, I think from being in Melbourne, he hasn't had the sort of media training and the day-to-day training that you get when you're at an NRL club in the mass media in Sydney. But there are a couple of lines in there that I thought were highly disrespectful to Craig Bellamy when he started talking about how good Robbo was.
Yeah.
When he started talking about how good Nick Colitis was, I was wondering, geez, what does Matt Tripp think about that? He had his time over again. If he sits back today and listens to it, I think he'd agree with us. And I would not like to be him walking into a meeting with Frank Panisi and Craig Bellamy this week. They've been able to come to grips with the fact that he's been on the tour for 2 weeks talking to other clubs because he hasn't broken any laws. They've come to grips with the fact they're likely to lose him, and it's all fair in love and war in rugby league. But the way he's done it, and his agent has spruced him up. I broke the story in July that the Roosters were talking to him, and I could not believe back then the openness of his manager. And at the time, Nick Politis rang me the next morning and was furious with that I'd quoted the manager in the way I had, because he was saying, he loves East, he loves Joey Manu, he loves Jared Hargreaves, and, he admires the Roosters. And at the time, I wrote that, the manager and Brandon were keen to come to the Roosters, but Trent Robinson was worried that it would unsettle the current players he had there right now, and he was trying to negotiate to keep Joey Manu and Angus Crichton, and big figures were being tossed around the paper. And I don't think his managers helped his case with such a public sale.
Okay, so will we wait to see if he will indeed sign with the Roosters? But is it a fait accompli in your opinion, Buzz?
Yeah, it's done, mate.
Done. Yeah. Right. Or the Dolphin.
I can tell you how impressive the Roosters were in their sale. They're moving into that new stadium at the old Sydney Football Stadium. And they've got artwork of what the dressing rooms are going to look like to show their sponsors and to show their stakeholders, etc. And they've got the names on the lockers. And they showed this tape to Brandon Smith, this video. And they've got Jared Hargreaves and they've got Joey Manu, their names on the lockers. And James Tedesco and Luke Keary, and they even put Brandon's best name on a locker to show him the cup he'd be keeping. And, it was a very slick presentation by the Roosters. And but you'll find Trent Robinson even told the young fella, he said, look, just be careful. Go home and talk this out with Melbourne Storm before you make any announcements. So, look, the deal's done. Redcliffe missed out on another player. Disappointing for them, but I think there'll be an announcement in the next 48 hours once he's formally told Melbourne Storm.
And you mentioned the Dolphins, and they signed Felice Kaufusi the other day, but Brandon Smith, another player they miss out on. So who do you anticipate to be the Dolphins' next signing after missing out on another one?
Yeah, this moves us on to another topic I was hoping to talk about today, and that's the huge pressure on the Parramatta Eels to land the signature of Junior Paulo this week after losing three really important players in the last 3 weeks, including Reid Marnie and Isaiah Papali'i to the Warriors. Now, I'm told Peter O'Sullivan and Wayne Bennett have gone in very, very heavy for Junior Paulo. They see him as the leader of the pack. They've seen what he's done for that Parramatta Eels forward pack and saw his game against Penrith when a lot of people thought they were very unlucky not to beat them under high controversy during the final series. they've seen him in the Blues jersey in Origin, and they're desperate to get hold of him. And what this has done, this has put enormous pressure on Parramatta. Public relations-wise, they cannot afford to lose another big player. So he's got the whip hand, Junior Paulo, and his manager, Sam Ayub. And apart from that, mate, Wayne Bennett and Peter O'Sullivan are working with managers and trying to land the bigger signature. I'm not surprised they missed Brandon Smith. If you're on the move at his stage of his career, you'd probably want to go to a more powerful club and face a few tough years at a new franchise. So, as I said, huge pressure on Parramatta to keep Paulo away from Redcliffe.
Yeah, what about the Dolphins, Buzz? Do you see them, and Paulo's a wonderful signing if they can get him, as is Felice Kaufusi. Yeah. But do you see them getting that marquee player, say like a Kalyn Ponga? Someone that you can build a club around, the face of the franchise, that type of player? Or do you just think they've missed out on that now and they've just got to try and build their team around the Kaufusis and the Paulos and those type of players?
Yeah, look, I was up in Newcastle last Monday and I bumped into Kalyn Ponga and had a quick chat to him. But, he is so focused on the Knights this year, and he's just left his father, Andre, to look after, his future. Interestingly, he can get out of his contract. There's a get-out clause until June 2022. Look, Redcliffe could make him the highest-paid player in rugby league. That's something stupid, over $1.5 million, because he would be the perfect face of a new club, a Queensland boy, a good style of a person, never gets himself into strife and can absolutely play the game. So I'm sure that he remains their number one target. There's a bit of confusion because Peter Bedell wrote that Wayne Bennett had already reached out to Ponga. Ponga denied that in a press conference on Tuesday last week. He's determined to play fullback this year and not in the halves for the Knights. I'm not sure the Knights are going to improve next year without Mitchell Pearce there, although they've picked up a centre from South Sydney. Who have they picked up, Loz? It's just
Dane Gagai,
of course. And I'm not sure that they're going to be as competitive as they were last season. Will it get to June? And they've had a few losses, and Ponga starts thinking to himself, just tough here in Newcastle. I'm not going to win a comp here. The money at Redcliffe, the Wayne Bennett influence, new club, the sponsorship opportunities, the corporates at the Broncos. It might become a very, very appealing to him.
You wrote about this in the paper today about the Newcastle Knights, Buzz, and their Pathways program. And it's great to see guys like Joey Johns back involved, Kurt Gidley. I know that Denny Bediris has been there as a football manager, but these guys are now working in the Pathways system for the Newcastle Knights.
Look, I think it's a really, really good thing Newcastle have done, and I'll be critical of clubs like the West Tigers, Steve Blocker-Rhodes, Benny Elias, Gary Jack feel unwelcome. You look at the Parramatta Eels, Ray Price, Brett Kenny, Peter Sterling, Steve Ellen, Mick Cronin. Do you ever see them around the footy club? You don't. But what Newcastle have done, and full credit here to Garth Brennan, because Garth Brennan was the actual architect of the Penrith Academy that Gus Gould got the funding for, and produced so many of those grand final players, Jerome Luai, Brian Toho, Steve Crichton, Isaiah Yeo, Fisher Harris, they all came through that system. And that's what the Knights are trying to do. And the Knights haven't produced a superstar from a junior league almost as big as Penrith since the Johns boys, Chief Harrigan, Adam Muir, Bediris, the Gidley brothers. And Dark Brenda's in charge of this, and he's brought back the legends to run it. And I tell the story in there. You should see the kids light up when Joey walks into the academy and starts coaching.
Mm.
And I even stood there and watched for an hour last year, and he was showing. And you watch these kids, in warm-ups on the footy, and then Joey goes over and shows them a different method. And you can see the improvement in straight away. They pick this up, but having those legends involved, they learn about the Knights culture, they learn about a winning culture, they learn about the structures that Adam O'Brien uses with the first grade squad, and it's an education that young footballers in the Hunter region haven't had for a long, long time. Too many great players like Greg Inglis, Tevita Pangai Jr., Latrell Mitchell, Boyd Cordner have escaped their system and gone on to great things at rival clubs. They are determined to keep these sort of juniors in Newcastle from now on, and I applaud what they're doing. Rather than getting the checkbook out and trying to buy a premiership, they are doing a Penrith, and more clubs in the NRL have got to start doing this.
Yeah, it's really good to see. Your last spot next Monday, Buzz, before the Christmas break. Bit of a year in review segment, I think.
Yeah, we'll do some awards, eh?
We will do some awards. Now, are you coming to our Christmas party?
I am, mate. You know, I've had a lucky escape because I was down to do the Gallon fight in Newcastle on the 10th.
Right.
And I thought, I can't brush Gal. I can't brush Harry Garside for this fight in Newcastle.
Yeah.
But then his old mate got COVID. So, you know what? I've got a loose pass on the 10th.
Well, you know what happens after the lunch? We go straight into dinner and it's your shout. Well, it's your shout because you owe Clarkie and I a dinner.
I was going to buy Clarkie some fish and chips at the pub.
Fish and chips? We want to go to a fancy joint.
No, I'll take fish and chips. Just to see you put your hand in your pocket, I'll take it. Buzz.
Oh, will you?
Yeah, $5, $5.50, that'll do me.
The West Tigers have beat Cronulla once in 5 years. and that was the one time out of bed.
I'm
very uncomfortable settling.
Get yourself used to it. You're going to see it again this year as well.
Oh, please, Clark. Stick to cricket, mate. It's your season now. Your season.
Good on you, Buzz.
I'll talk next week. See you, guys.